Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 20, I would draw your attention to this evening. By a new and living way, which he, that is the Lord Jesus, hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. I want to speak tonight about some of the veils of Holy Scripture, some of the veils in the Bible. And there are many veils in the Bible. If you take a concordance and look the word up and trace the use of the word through the Scriptures, you will find that there are a number of references to a veil. The first mention of a veil is that of Rebekah's. You'll remember Rebekah when she first saw her husband from a distance. It said that she put on a veil and covered herself. It's a kind of a wrap or a shawl. It may have covered her whole body. It may have just covered her top parts and her head. But it was a covering. It was a veil. And the function of it was to give her some concealment from the eyes of man. And then the next mention of a veil is that of another woman's. She's called Tamar. And she wanted to conceal her identity, that she might conceive from Judah. She veiled herself, and she feigned herself wickedly to be a harlot. And Judah, because of the veil, did not recognize her. She was concealed from his eyes. The next mention of a veil is that mention that we read in the book of Exodus. The veil of the tabernacle. That's the material covering, a kind of a curtain that separated the most holy place from the holy place itself in the tabernacle. But it's clear from these three examples of a veil in the Bible, it's clear that a veil is a curtain, and the function of it is to conceal, to cover and to conceal. And of course, we use curtains in our homes, don't we? And it's the same function, to cover, to conceal, to keep out praying eyes. And of course, you go into a hospital, and very often the nurse will pull the curtain when she wishes to conceal her activity from the public eye and to give some privacy and secrecy. But did you know and consider that curtains exist because of sin? There were no curtains in paradise. There were no coverings in paradise in the Garden of Eden. Everything was naked and opened. Even mankind needed no covering for their body. There was not even a veil on the body, and there was certainly no veil on the heart. And their hearts were opened, and they sought not to cover them from the eyes of the Lord. There was full opening. There was no curtain. There was no veil. But with the entrance of sin, veils began to descend upon this world. And so today, we have curtains and veils. Sin brought a veil. Sin brought a separation. A veil came over the mind. A veil came over mankind. A veil came over the nations. And a veil came between us and God. The veil that sin brought. And so redemption really is about removing veils. And the gospel is a gospel message that tells us about the removal of all these veils that sin has brought. Redemption is about rent veils, torn veils. There can be no fellowship with God. There can be no return to paradise until the veils between us and God are rent. Religion talks about veils and rent veils. False religion says you must yourself remove the veil. False religion says you must yourself break down the wall of separation between you and God, and you must yourself rend those veils. Man-made religion says that. But the gospel says God rends the veils. The gospel says God comes down and he does that work himself, and he alone rends the veils asunder that separate between him and us. The gospel teaches that. And so the gospel is about divinely rent veils. And that's our subject tonight. Divinely rent veils. Veils that God himself hath torn asunder. Veils that God, he hath done with his own hand, opened wide and removed, never more to be gathered together again. And as you study the scriptures, you will find that there are three veils that God has rent. One was rent by God the Son. Another was rent by God the Father. And a third is rent by God the Holy Ghost. Divinely rent veils. The first divinely rent veil is the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will notice in our text here that the Lord Jesus hath consecrated for us a new and living way through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We read of a veil here. And the word through the veil here is explained as his flesh. Through the veil, that is to say, and that's explaining the veil there. What's a veil? The veil in the mind of the apostle is the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, his human nature, his humanity. Of course, he has in mind here the veil of the tabernacle, not the veil of the temple. The temple is never in mind in the epistle to the Hebrews. It's only the tabernacle. And the veil of the tabernacle here is in mind of the apostle. And he says the veil of that tabernacle is a picture of the humanity of the Lord Jesus, his flesh. That veil separated between God and man. We read in Leviticus chapter 16 that men couldn't go into there beyond the veil. What would happen if they did? They would die. They would die. But now the veil has been opened. It's been torn asunder. And there's a new and living way, and he's consecrated himself, and we can go in there, right into the most holy place, because the Lord Jesus Christ has done something to the veil. The best way to think about this is the Lord Jesus Christ has took that veil on himself. The veil that separated between us and God. What has he done? He's took it upon himself. He's wrapped himself in it. And then he's torn it asunder. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He took flesh. He veiled himself. Don't we sometimes sing it? Veiled in flesh. The Godhead, see. The poet knew what he was writing when he said that. He is playing on these words of the apostle, the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Veiled in flesh. And that humanity veiled his Godhead. The Son of God came down, he humbled himself, he wrapped the veil of humanity around him. And whenever men looked upon Jesus, all they saw was his humanity. All they saw was this veil. All they saw was his flesh. They didn't see that he was the Lord of glory. It was veiled from them. And not only did he take human nature, but he took our sins as well. He veiled himself in human nature, bearing our sins. And it's that what separates, isn't it? The Lord Jesus had to become man. He had to take this veil. He had to take our sins. It's our sins, you see, that separate between us and God. And that's how he dealt with sin. He took our humanity. He bore our sins. He wrapped himself in it. Just as we are saved. We are saved by the imputed righteousness of Christ, aren't we? Are we clothed with the righteousness of Jesus? Well, Jesus clothed himself with our sins. He veiled himself with human nature, bearing sin. And then what did he do? He rent himself. He gave himself. He poured out his life blood. We have the idea of rending in the Lord's Supper, the severing of the body and of the blood, the division of the two causing death, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave himself, he rent himself asunder, he laid down his life, he was torn for us, and he did it by his own hand. I lay down my life, no man taketh it from me, no man teareth my soul from my body. I lay it down myself, I rend myself. And so he hath consecrated for us a way himself, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So the first divinely rent veil is the humanity of the Lord Jesus, when he gave himself a sacrifice for our sins. And we have to admire the grace of Christ that he should take human nature and veil himself and give himself for us. But then the next divinely rent veil we read of there in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 51. The reference in Hebrews is to the tabernacle veil. It was never rent, of course. It was only the temple veil that was rent. The tabernacle veil was never rent because the substance of it is the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh. And when he rent himself, the tabernacle was fulfilled as a type and prophecy. But at the time of the rending of the flesh of the Lord Jesus on the cross, as he rent himself, as he rent that tabernacle veil, as it were, in himself portrayed, the Father did something else. We read about it there in verse 51 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That's the rending of his veil. That's the rending of his humanity. The spirit has gone now from the body. The separation has taken place. He's gone through the veil. He's consecrated a way for us. And now the Father does something. In verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And so here we now have a veil that has been rent by the Father. The Father himself did that. You can see that because it was done from the top to the bottom. Now, if man had been doing this, and if man had been engaging in this, it was a very tall curtain, man would have cut or slit the curtain at the bottom and rent it asunder from the bottom and torn it up to the top. It would have been very hard to do that, of course, because it was a very thick curtain and man alone could not do it. It would take the power of engines or the power of beasts to rend that asunder. But if he had have done so, that's the method he would have used, from the bottom to the top. But this veil is rent from the top to the bottom. Why? Because God the Father, as it were, hath put out his hand from above, or if you like, from within the most holy place. He has reached out. He has gone to the top. He has torn it down himself. The divine hand has rent asunder this curtain. And it's an amazing thing. That's why the word behold is there. This stunned the priests. This was an amazing work of God. And the Father did it. Now, why did he do such a miracle? Why did he do it? The reason why the father did it was to give testimony, to speak, to say something to us, to tell us something. You've heard the old expression, actions speak louder than words, and God has given us many words what he has done in the gospel. But here's an action. Here's something whereby he would speak to us with an activity that speaks louder than words. He tears the curtain asunder that separates between us and him. And he does it himself. And he's giving testimony. And I want you, brethren and sisters and fellow sinners, I want you to listen to that testimony. What is the Father telling you? Well, the veil separated between us and God. The throne of God is closed off. Inside are the cherubim. On the veil of the curtain itself are cherubim. What are cherubim, you ask? Cherubim are the custodians of the divine justice. Cherubims are guardians of the holiness of God. Whenever man was driven out from the garden, it was cherubims who defended the garden so that man would not come back into the garden again to eat of the tree of life. It was the cherubims who went hither and thither with the flaming sword of justice, keeping out man from paradise. And that veil, whenever it was fabricated, it had to have upon it the only images which were allowed in the tabernacle and in the temple. The images of cherubim. And upon that veil were portrayed these images of cherubim. And there they are, keeping out man, keeping man from going into the presence of God. And if man should go into the presence of God, these guardians of the divine holiness would cut off man. But now when Jesus dies, God himself tears down the curtain and the cherubims are removed, and there's a free and open access into his holy presence. That's what God is telling us. This is one of many marvels that followed the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The veil is rent, and the Father did it, and he's giving testimony. He's giving testimony to the power of Christ's death. He's giving testimony that Jesus has satisfied divine justice. He's giving testimony that the sword of divine justice, the sword of the cherubim, has satisfied itself in the heart and bowels of Jesus. And now justice rests, and now the sword is put away. Now it is sheathed forever, and the veil of the temple is torn down, and sinners can go in. That's what the Father's telling us. The Father's telling us that the work is complete, that there is free access now into his holy presence, that sinners are welcome to come in, that sinners can come in. The way is opened. Don't you see what the Father says? My fellow sinner, there is no hindrance to you coming to the Father if you come through Christ, if you come through the rent veil, if you come through the power of the atoning blood of Jesus, there is no hindrance to you in coming to the Father. I want you to notice the completeness and finality of this work. It is torn from the top to the bottom. It is not torn halfway down, and then you have to get a ladder, as it were, to ascend halfway up and find your own way in. No, it is a complete and final work. It goes right down to the bottom. You don't even have to start over the last threads of the curtain. It's completely open. And it's opened by grace, and it's opened by the power of the blood of Jesus, and you have free access to go in, and you don't have to work, you don't have to labor, you don't have to climb. It's done for you, and it's done by grace. That curtain is rent asunder completely, and all the devils of hell cannot mend it again. It is completely open. And it's only one way to, men and women. Let us never forget that. Are there many ways to the Father? Are there many doors into the most holy place? There's only one, a new and living way, which the Father himself hath opened through his Son Jesus. There is the solitariness of this way. It's only one way. And Jesus said, I am that way. There's only one opening and none other. That's what the priest saw. That's what the Jew is to believe. That's what the benighted Romanist must receive by faith. That's what darkened Protestants must believe. That's the heart of the gospel. Jesus is the one and only way. And he is the one and only way through his blood. The solitariness of this way. And then there is the freedom of access. None are barred. The Father has opened it up. The testimony unto all men without, to the furthest ends of the earth, this veil is open. All may enter in. Whosoever will may come. If any man thirst, let him come. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, the outer extremities of the globe. There is no restriction. The Father has opened the way. There are no signposts outside hampering sinners. All may come in. The Father has opened it from the top to the bottom. That's the second veil then. The veil that was rent in the temple, the Father's testimony of what he thinks of his Son Jesus and the sacrifice of the cross, it has power. And sinners that will come through the cross of Jesus and through the work of Christ have an audience with him. This veil was rent at the moment of the death of Jesus. There's power in his blood. It opened heaven. But then there's another veil. There's a third veil. And that is the veil of the mind and of the heart. Redemption, as I have said, is about God removing veils. And God has removed a third veil. God cannot stop at the death of Jesus. God cannot stop at the veil of the temple being torn asunder. Because if God stopped there, you know what would happen? Nobody would go in. Christ has died. The Father has given testimony that all may enter in, that sinners are welcome to come in through Jesus. But if the Father had stopped there, no one would come. No one would enter in. No one would believe in Jesus. And why would no one come in? And why would no one believe in Christ? You know why? Because there's a veil upon their mind and upon their heart. And they would never see the way. They would never understand the way. They would never believe in Christ. An Arminian gospel proclaims such a message. But the gospel of the Bible says there's a third veil that God rends asunder. It's the veil of sinners' minds. It's a veil that blinds their hearts. God, as it were, tears that veil asunder from the top to the bottom. But his hand does not stop at the bottom of that curtain of the temple. His hand goes out through the power of his Holy Spirit. The hand of God goes out among the nations, among Jews and Gentiles. And that hand reaches into the hearts of sinners. And that hand removes the veil from the minds of men. And those of us that are saved tonight, that hand has reached into our hearts and let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine into it, because he's removed the veil and we can see tonight, because the Holy Spirit has given us understanding and light. He's allowed us to see Christ. He's allowed us to see the gospel. He's given us faith to enter in. This third veil is the veil that the Holy Spirit removes. And that's what we need in this community and in this congregation. We need the hand of the Holy Spirit reaching into the heart of sinners, tearing away the veil that they might see the truth of the gospel and that they might enter in to faith in Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 7, we read that God will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. Do you see there's a veil over humanity? But this is a promise of God in New Testament times that in the church he will remove the covering cast over people, the veil that is spread over the nations, and many Gentiles will be brought to faith and repentance because he removes the veil. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, we read here about Israel, blind Israel, Israel who have the Moses read to them every week in the synagogue. The apostle refers to it in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14, their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. The same veil. A veil which was put over the face of Moses. A veil that was, when it was removed, was to reveal the glory of Christ in New Testament times. When that veil was removed, the glory of the New Testament dispensation would be opened up and men would see it. But this veil somehow has gone over the minds of Israel and they can't see the glory of Christ. That same veil is untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. It's over their minds. Verse 15, even unto this day, Paul's day, but the same might be said of our day. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is still upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. There is hope for Israel. There is a day when Israel shall be converted. There is a day when Israel shall turn unto the Lord, when Jews shall be converted in great numbers. It does not say if it shall turn to the Lord. The Holy Spirit says when it shall turn to the Lord. It will be the day when the veil has been taken away. Who takes away that veil? The Holy Spirit takes away that veil. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Who has removed the veil from our heart? It has been the Holy Spirit. Who continually removes the remaining part of the veil from our heart that we see more of Christ? It is the Holy Spirit. Who conforms us unto the likeness of Christ as we behold him? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who removes the veil. He will one day remove the veil upon the mind of the Jews. And there'll be great liberty. And they'll turn to Jesus then. And they'll believe and be saved. And they'll enter in. And they'll come to Christ. And they'll come through Christ unto the Father. What a day of awakening that will be. What a day of blessing. You read about it in Romans chapter 11. There's a great awakening to be among Israel yet. A great awakening which we believe the Gentiles will also experience to some degree in days to come. But it'll only be happening as the Holy Spirit removes the veil. And that's what we need to pray for, men and women, in this community, isn't it? We can preach the gospel. But you know, there's an area where no preacher can go. And that's the heart. And only the Spirit of the Lord can remove that veil. And we need to pray that God, the Holy Spirit, that the hand of God will come down on this congregation and remove the veil of minds so that men and women will see the glory of Jesus, and seeing the glory of Jesus, become like Jesus. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit and His power. And so these three veils then, the gospel is about them, the veils that God removes. And of course, at Calvary, those three veils are seen. There is a veil of Christ's flesh that He Himself rent when He gave Himself a sacrifice and poured out His life. And then there was the veil that was rent just a moment later in the temple. But the Holy Spirit was working at Calvary too. And there were veils rent as well in men's hearts that day, among Jews and among Gentiles, giving thereby a picture of what He shall do in New Testament times. And in this dispensation of grace, He will save Jew and Gentile, because they're hung by the side of Christ, a Jew, a dying thief. And there was a veil removed from that dying thief's mind when he realized he was a sinner. And he realized that Jesus of Nazareth was a Savior. And he prayed, "Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom." The veil was removed. He who previously had been blaspheming Jesus with his fellow thief has, by the hand of the Holy Spirit, had his heart opened so that he dies believing in Jesus. But not only was there a Jewish heart unveiled that day, there was a Gentile heart as well, because there was a centurion. A centurion who witnessed the death of Jesus, a centurion who felt the earthquake, a centurion who saw the unnatural darkness that covered the land, a centurion who saw the glory of Jesus at last and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And they had faith. The veil was removed. The veils that were removed at Calvary. That's the salvation God gives. You don't remove any veils. You can't. The gospel says God has done it all. Believe in Jesus and be saved. Have we been taught of God, men and women? Have we seen something of the glory of Jesus? The glorious free access that we have through Him unto the Father. Is your faith and confidence in Him, then it's because of God's grace that's removed the veil of your mind. Thank Him for His grace. Thank the Lord tonight again that your testimony is, "Once I was blind, but now I see." Praise the Lord. And if you don't see, and if you haven't come to the Father through Jesus Christ, and if you're still seeking acceptance with Him through your vain works, then you need to pray, "Lord, open mine eyes that I might see Jesus and believe in Him."